Hey there, it's Winston Faircloth, and welcome to episode 32 of the Begin Again podcast. So we have a special treat on the podcast today, my friend David Hancock. David is a Wall Street Journal, USA Today best-selling author, and the founder of Morgan James Publishing. NASDAQ cites David as one of the world's most prestigious business leaders, and he's reported to be the future of publishing. As founder of Morgan James Publishing, he was selected for Fast Company Magazine's Fast 50 for his leadership, creative thinking, significant accomplishments, and impact over the industry over the last 10 years. David is an amazing, faith-filled man of God who leads his business with enthusiasm and passion for his authors, his readers, and his partners. I know you're going to love this episode. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mr. Winston. It's a privilege to be here. I feel so blessed.
So for folks who haven't met you yet, tell us a little bit about who you are and the people that you serve today.
Oh my gosh. So you kind of alluded to it there a second ago. I am a passionate author, but actually my day job is as a publisher. And I think my passion for authors is why I'm doing it in the first place. And we can talk about this more later, but I'm an author myself. I was able to leverage a book to grow, my business. And I became very passionate about the power of a book. I've got deep roots in me of guerrilla marketing. And I discovered that the book is probably the most single effective guerrilla marketing weapon I had in my arsenal, and still do believe that today, even though I'm in publishing now. So I serve entrepreneurial authors, authors that are telling a great story or teaching something amazing, but there's a bigger picture behind it. You know, the book is not just a book for someone to read and put back on the shelf. The book is to engage with the reader, to engage with the writer, to help both lives grow. And if you can make some money in the process, that's wonderful. But if you can change the world, even better.
I love it. And there's so many things we could mine out of that opening statement, but you've not always been a publisher. This is one of your begin again moments, I believe, in terms of how you got to where you are today. So where would you like to begin in terms of sharing one of your begin again moments?
Oh my gosh. Life, is so funny. And when you ask me about my begin again moments, I'm going, okay, well, there's this one, there's that one, there's this one, there's that one. It's like, God's got a sense of humor, but I'll just start about the begin again moment with the publishing side. How's that sound?
Excellent. That'd be great. Thanks.
So should we have another chance to sit there at the beach with a Mountain Dew in our hand? Let's go deeper together, of course. I appreciate the opportunity. So fast forward to the 90s. I was a banker. I was a mortgage banker in Hampton Roads, Virginia. Fat, dumb, and happy. Never imagined doing anything else. I mean, I barely passed high school, didn't like math, dropped out of college, and found myself a banker. And they were paying us crazy, stupid money. I found a great niche. But I was competing with 1,000 people just like me, which I'm sure a lot of us, are there right now. But then I was competing with 1,000 people just like me. We had the exact same product or service that we were offering to the community. Now, granted, it may have had different names, but they were all loosely regulated bank. I'm using air quotes, loosely regulated banking, products. But I was successful for whatever reason. I tried to create value. I tried to create relationships. I tried to help others. All those are good things to do and things that we've learned in our lives through, Zig Ziglar, Tom Hopkins, Todd Duncan, you name it, Jay Levis and so forth. But I got to a point where I realized, I'm not going to stay on top. Just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, I think we all realize that or all should realize that sooner than later. So I started a study for the first time in my life for me. I started to study every book and topic related to banking or sales and marketing or relationships or things along those lines. Even read a great book by a guy named Bill Bachrach about values, creating a values-based method of selling your wares to the audience, and really just did really well. And I had a great boss who just paid for it all. Of course, as a top producer, I could get away with a lot. So I bought the books. I went to the seminars. I flew across country. I came back. I implemented like crazy because it's all about implementation. You can go to all the conferences you want, but if you don't do anything about it, it doesn't do you any good. It's a waste of money and time. But I came back and I hired the assistants. I fine-tuned some processes. Sure, I made a little bit more money. I had a little bit extra time to go home, but nothing really gave me that bolster in my career that I was expecting or hoping for. Not that I had it clearly designed of what I was hoping, but it wasn't until I discovered a book called Guerrilla Marketing. Now, I alluded a moment ago that I'm a guerrilla marketer at heart, and this is why. I discovered a book of guerrilla marketing by Jay Levinson, Jay Cameron Levinson, and it was in its third edition, and I had never heard of him before. Never heard of the term guerrilla marketing, never knew what it meant, never met Jay or heard of Jay, but it somehow landed on my desk, literally just down the street from where I'm sitting right now. And it's kind of funny because I tease that, you know, it was either divinely left in my desk or somebody gave it to me or I bought it, didn't remember it, or I stole it. I'm pretty sure I didn't steal it. But somehow it came to my attention on my desk one day and I opened it up and just immersed myself in it. And I realized I was a guerrilla and didn't know it. And what that means, for those of you that might not know, is a guerrilla marketer is somebody that does unconventional things to gain conventional goals, leveraging your time, your energy, and your imagination over your bank account. Now, I had an unlimited bank account for working for the bank. We literally spent crazy money. In fact, my boss let me spend as much money as I could even remotely justify, but so could everybody else. So we might as well have all been on the same zero platform. And so I read and just immersed in guerrilla marketing and realized, okay, this is good affirmation. I'm heading down the right path. I'm doing the right things. I need to keep doing that because I don't want to change what I'm doing because it's working, but I needed to figure out how do I keep going there. So in the book, Jay was probably one of the first few that of authors that encouraged me as a reader to reach out to him. And I did. And he responded.
How about that?
I know. So that's another thing. Follow up. You know, 68% of all business is lost due to apathy after somebody reaches out to you, or apathy after a sale or some sort of connection. You know, so it's a big deal to follow up. I ended up hiring him as a coach. And he basically taught me nothing more than I had learned in the book, which certainly can be a discouraging moment. But of course, having a relationship with him was amazing. His stories were just so great. You know, as a kid, I always wanted to be an advertiser, and he came from the advertising space. And I just really enjoyed that connection. And since somebody else was paying for it, I kept pushing through, which I think at hindsight, we should all continue to push through to find that magic spot, which I eventually did. So Jay was, of course, very affirming that I was doing the right things. And he basically helped me understand that I'm almost there, but I needed to make a single change, add a single thing to my life that would end up changing my life forever. And, you know, he said that it could change everything, but I don't think he even had the picture of what it could have done for me. So in our meetings, you know, he would spread it out over several months, of course, because he's a smart coach. He's adding value, but making sure that I keep the consistent relationship with him. I love him. Well, he's passed now. I can talk about that later, too, if you want. But so he basically said, David, if you wanted to charge more and negotiate less, you've got to – who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't want to charge more and negotiate less? This is probably one of the least favorite things that you want to do is negotiate. But he said, if you want to charge more and negotiate less, you've got to keep doing what you're doing because it's working. And I'm like, that's right, it's working. And I said, well, what now? He said, well, you need to add one more thing. I'm like, yes, this finally this secret weapon. Of course, I fell in love with the guy. I could spend as much time with him as he would ever give me. And, of course, he didn't tell me right away. He had to continue to kind of fill in some blanks and kind of, you know, go through the things that I was doing and make sure that I, you know, I had the guerrilla marketing stuff mastered, of course. But he went on to tell me in another month that, you know, David, if you wanted to have those clients that you wished you could do business with, the whale of a clients we call them, that just, you know, the big fish, you know, whatever you want to call them, but the big clients that never knew that I existed. He said, if you want those people to reach out to you and get on your calendar and start throwing money at you, you've got to keep doing what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, I do want that. There were some celebrity real estate agents that I wanted their business. There were some bankers and some financial service advisors that had great, you know, clients with lots of money that could buy houses or refinance their mortgages, something like that. So yeah, I want those people. He said, well, if you want those, you've got to keep doing what you're doing because it's obviously working. I thought, I know, Jay. He said, but you need to add one more thing. And by this time, I'm like ready to strangle it.
What is it?
It's like, dude, tell me. So he didn't, of course. But he went on to continue to coach me and just affirm the things that I was doing correctly. And then again, you know, in another month, he shared with me that, you know, if I wanted to have the media call me, and I never really imagined this in my life because I'm camera shy and, you know, pretty outgoing, but I just never imagined anybody ever wanting to hear what I had to say. But he said, if you wanted to have the media call you when something happened in the space, you need to keep doing what you're doing because you're having a positive impact on the community. You may not realize it, but you do still need to add one more thing. Now, again, like I said, I never imagined the media wanted to call me, but I'm like, I can see that. I've seen the bobbleheads on television. I read papers every day. I consistently read the news and still do. And I realized that there was a spot for some sort of guru, if you will. But I'm like, well, how am I going to get there? He said, well, you're there. You just need to add one more thing. So this time I'm like really ready to strangle them. He finally revealed that I needed to write a book. Mm. And I know, right? You guys probably pre-guessed that based on my introduction, but I did not believe it. Now, who am I to write a book? I'm a high school, you know, bottom of the class, although I did graduate in the top 30 of my class, but small school. I use that all the time. It's great. You know, dropped out of college. Now, who am I to have something to say that anybody else would want? But he was very gracious, very loving. One of the amazing things I loved about him. But he helped me understand that I was already an authority in the space. I was doing well, and I was doing things uniquely than everybody else. And I had value. I had something to say. I was, you know, doing newsletters on a regular basis. I was creating value. And again, just I had enough of the things that were making me successful that I probably could write a book. And he helped me understand that I could. And that was pretty powerful. So I ended up writing a book. Didn't realize that was a hard thing to do. I swear it took me 30 days. It was an amazing stress reliever, though, Winston. I don't know if I ever told you that or not, but I ended up writing the book a little bit at the time in the evenings on the couch with my bride, because banking, mortgage banking specifically, was very stressful, very lucrative, but very stressful. Every transaction had 9 dominoes set up behind it, in front of it, and if something went wrong, they all crashed and burned, and it was all my fault as a banker, of course. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so it was very stressful. But coming back home and realizing what I've got here in front of me. So sitting down in the evenings with my bride, tapping out the things and the struggles that I had that day, I was able to put together not only a great outline and the path of what I was doing to get through it, ended up compiling a book. It was great, I thought. Of course, Jay encouraged me to get a good editor and so forth. So I went through all that process. It was, you know, emotional because I'm bleeding on a piece of paper and I get the editor telling me I need to do better. But it worked. It was actually fun. But it was a stress reliever and actually had more time to spend with my bride in the evenings instead of working ish, you know. And I ended up getting it published. Didn't realize that was a hard thing to do either. Now, I didn't use Jay's publisher, Dag Nabbit, which was Houghton Mifflin, still around, of course, the same ones that published Tom Sawyer. And they're like their only business book, Guerrilla Marketing. So I'm sure there's a story there. But I ended up getting it published, and it worked. In less than 8 months, I literally doubled my income. And all those things that Jay said could happen, happened. I charged more, and nobody negotiated with me. I actually really did double my fees. I mean, yeah, I was like, well, I can try. What are they going to do, say no? I can always come down, but you can never go up, right?
Right.
Still trying to add value and not take advantage of people. But, I wanted to make sure that they got good service from me, and I made good money, right? And I was able also to, all of a sudden realize that people were returning my phone calls. In fact, some of those big celebrity agents were knocking on my door, and all of a sudden realizing that I had the opportunity to expand the clients that I already was working with. And of course, I swallowed my pride and took their money because they didn't know who I was yesterday. And now they want to talk to me, which I think is good. And sure enough, just about weekly, the media called me in some aspect for some sort of information on the banking side. Of course, there was always something still today going on, in banking. Some good, some bad, some writing on the walls. But we always had something to talk about. So just about weekly, I was either quoted in the newspaper, interviewed on the radio, and even had several television appearances. Just a little old me in Virginia, So it was like, wow, Jay was right. The power of the book was amazing. And it just seemed to be never ending. Just opportunities kept coming and speaking started to happen, all from the power of the book. But Winston, it was probably one of the worst experiences I had gone through. And my previous, moments that, made me take additional steps were pretty interesting and tough, but I could never make the publisher happy. I had no input in the book when it came out. In fact, I, as his first time author, had really no input in anything. I had no input in the title, had no input in the cover, had no input in the marketing. And when I got my copies in the mail, I didn't like it and discovered there were 3 chapters in it that weren't mine.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Well, that's what happens when you sell your rights to somebody else. Now, I would have liked to have been included in it. It was good content. I'm like, yeah, that's great. But it certainly wasn't me, but had no relationship with the publisher at all. And I'm a relationship guy. So that was really just troubling. But again, I couldn't sell enough copies to make him happy, but that's not necessarily why I sold the book. Sure, I wanted to sell some, but it just really wasn't a great relationship. And Jay kind of let me know that was typical publishing. I was like, man. But I had started to continue to make such a good impact. My business was growing. The books were selling, because I had a great author or a great client base, I should say. So I ended up earning the ability to write another book. And this one, I actually convinced Jay to be a co-author. So we went to the market with another book. And about this time, I had switched from, retail banking to wholesale banking. It was a perfect time for another book for me to try to teach other loan officers, if you will, what I was doing to be really successful and help them grow their business, leveraging the power of guerrilla marketing and the power of a book. So we wrote a book called Guerrilla Marketing for Mortgage Brokers. And it was great with him as a co-author. Obviously, he sold 15 million books by the time he and I discovered each other. And so it was an honor to be with him. So with him, same deal. We sold our rights to the publisher. With him being such a big powerhouse, we had a little bit of control in some things. Jay owned the brand, so the title was going to be Guerrilla Marketing, something. We still struggled with all the other details. We really had to fight hard to get the branding for the book to match the branding of the original book. We really had to fight hard over the content with the publisher. And just Jay was like, this is publishing. We build through it. We go through it. We try to maintain relationships and try to, be good, stewards of their work now. And it just wasn't fun. And again, book came out, our business just continued to explode. And I had clients all across the country that I was helping them with their business, and they're hiring me to coach them, but also sell them mortgage products. It was wonderful. And of course, one of the weapons I was saying they need to do is they need to write a book, because that's what ultimately changed my life. I had to set the foundation first, of course. You got to know what you're doing. You got to be an authority in your space. You've got to have something of value to offer and a proven track record. So we can all get there, with the right help. So that was great, but it was still a horrible experience. I ended up selling 40,000 copies to the bank I worked with. So the book did well.
Wow.
I know. So we earned the right to do a second edition. So this is about 1999. If I'm starting to bore you yet, I'm almost done, I promise.
Oh, no. I think this is a fascinating story. I'm hoping everyone's taking notes on how they can get into this book publishing game too.
Well, you can tell I like to hear my own voice, so I'll keep going for as long as until you shut me up or turn my mic off.
There you go.
No, I'm just passionate for helping people. But again, we earned the right to do a second book. That one, we had the same issues that we had before. I had hoped it would be a little bit easier, because now I've kind of proven myself. Be careful when you start beating your own chest, of course. But we still struggle with the branding. The name was locked in, of course. We really didn't like the cover, but it did have some camouflage theme, from a guerrilla marketing perspective. But one of the biggest things that I remember from that book was the content. In 1999, the publisher wouldn't even let us use the word internet in the book.
Now, oh, my goodness.
I know, 99, we were all on the internet. Now, and they said that they didn't think it would last past Y2K, that it would date our book and it would be irrelevant in less than a year. And they didn't intend to buy an irrelevant book. So we fought and fought and fought, and they wouldn't let us do it. Now, the funny thing is they sent us that over the internet, that we couldn't use the word internet, because the email, it goes over the internet, right?
Right.
But they didn't get it, and now they're no longer in business. Imagine that. But the book did well. But it was just still that process with the publisher of not having any input. It was very frustrating. So I realized, okay, now that I'm a best-selling author, I've got 3 books under my belt, and I've got great coaching support from Jay, although I stopped paying him when we co-authored together, so that might have been a little bit strategic on my part. And maybe not so much on it. Now he's pretty. I realized, okay, now that I know what I'm doing, I'm going to self-publish my own books. I'm going to write a couple more books, get them self-published. And over the next 3 years, really two years, I self-published 3 books. And I loved them. They were great. I was in complete control of everything. Titles, covers, content. Man, I loved them. They're beautiful books. Not that I'm a control freak, but I had such lack of control. I really immersed myself in these projects. Drove my wife crazy. All the while still having this thriving day job as a banker that was just crazy. Probably spending 22 hours a day in helping other bankers do what I did, and primarily the getting books done, and maybe 2 hours a day going to lunch with my best clients. That was it. So it was definitely driving my wife crazy. But my books that I self-published was different. It was better than not doing anything at all. Of course, absolutely better than not doing anything at all, but not what I was used to. I didn't get the same level of respect on them. I didn't have any distribution, really. Amazon was in its infancy, but still there. But nobody cared. Nobody cared about those books. I was selling them out of my garage and ended up having termites eat 1,700 copies of books. It was no fun because they didn't sell fast enough. So it just wasn't the same. But again, recognizing it's better than not doing anything at all, I was still helping my clients do the similar things. Most of them were getting picked up by publishers because it was such a unique thing to have these rising authorities back in the 90s, as we all probably realized. But a lot of them were self-publishing, and they were having booming success. It's just not the same level as others. But I ended up having so much fun and spending so much time in it that I realized that this is pretty exciting, but my wife is the one that sealed it for me. She said, "David, we have to talk one day." One day she said, "David, we have to talk." She didn't want to say, "David, we have to talk one day," because it was like immediately. And I knew I was in trouble. because every time I heard David, we have to talk, it meant I did something I should have done. And she said, basically, you're working two full-time jobs. Granted, I'm getting paid stupid money for one, but I'm never seeing you. We got now two small kids at the house. Something has to change. And she gave me an ultimatum. You guys could all guess what it was, but I promised I wouldn't tell it anymore. But basically, I was compelled to make a change. So she realized that, you know, I had found a new passion. And Jay was recognizing that I had found a new passion. And I had always kind of said, man, I wish somebody would fix publishing. Mm-hmm. I wish somebody would bring in the relationship of guerrilla marketing and the value add and helping others, you know, that I learned from Jay, that I learned from Zig Ziglar and others. And then also still maintain the credibility, the distribution, the professional product, you know, that a publisher can bring to the table. But nobody did. So Jay and I sat down and we created for about a year an outline of what an entrepreneurial publishing house should look like. Mm-hmm. And with my wife's blessing and naming assistance, we launched a publishing company and had nothing to offer but my rugged good looks and my passion and enthusiasm for what a book could do for an authority in their space. Because of, you know, Jay's introduction and some other friends, lots of different, you know, lots of people. That's the cool thing, by the way, sidebar. A lot of us entrepreneurs think that being an entrepreneur is a solo venture. No, it's not. Being an entrepreneur may just mean that you own everything, but we're not getting there by ourselves. We're getting there by a lot of help and a lot of friends, or it should be, and coaches and so forth. So we launched the Morgan James, and we kind of set out that one day, how we were going to get there wasn't really clear. But one day we wanted to make sure that we had the credibility of a traditional house, the distribution of a traditional house, and even maybe somewhat of the exclusivity, although I didn't really have that really clearly fleshed out. I just was attracted to a certain type of author, and they were attracted to somebody who had a really good idea, but nothing to offer. But I also wanted to see how I could help others, you know, by doing what I did. Over the years, we managed to earn the right to get distribution. We caught the eye of one of the nation's largest book distributor, who actually called us and said, "Who the heck are you?" They didn't use heck, but "Who the heck are you? How are you selling so many books, and how can we help?" And it was amazing, because we were just really focusing on helping entrepreneurs, you know, whether they're an entrepreneur or a W-2 employee like I was, leveraging the power of a book to grow their business. And we were having so much fun, and I was attracting, you know, some people that could sell some books, and we managed to earn the right to distribution. And as the years continued, we managed to kind of hone down on this whole business side of the book and creating this wave of selecting the right authors. Again, not that I'm looking for reasons to say no. We're always looking for reasons to say yes, but also having some successes. In fact, we had our first New York Times bestseller within 90 days of that distributor picking us up. Wow. So we were heading down that right path, but it shifted, you know, from a successful banker to frustrated over an industry that needed to be changed, a 500-year-old industry, and I had no clue what I was doing. In fact, if I'd known how complicated it was, I don't know if I'd have done it, but that's the joy of entrepreneurial bliss. So we set down that path, and, you know, today, 17 years into it, you know, we look and feel and smell like a traditional house. For the right reasons, but oh my gosh, that's not what I wanted. But I think the things that we do different are unique: our guerrilla marketing aspect, our caring for others, and our drive for relationships. You know, we have created something really, really cool. Author involvement, understanding the entrepreneur, helping them figure out how to sell books. Really, be honest with you, we do very little on helping authors how to sell books, because nobody wants to help you sell a book. We do a lot on doing the things that make bookstore buyers and consumers respond to you being an authority, and the book is a great first piece in that funnel of your entire life as a business person.
So when you call yourself an entrepreneurial publisher, and so you see this as a vehicle to larger activities in business, right? That the book gives you authority, but then there's so many other things that surround the book. Talk a little bit about that from an author's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book definitely can be a door opener. It can give you the authority, like happened to me in my community, to make it easy for some media to pick you up to either talk about what's going on in your space or things like that. So that can be very, very powerful. But also from a business perspective, it certainly can be an income stream, but just that opportunity for we to have an opening to get to the next product or the next service that you might be able to offer them. Most of us authors earn more money because of the book than we do from the book itself. Now, of course, as a publisher, I only make money from the books that sell, but I realize, again, from my Zig Ziglar and Jay Levinson training, that the more I help you succeed with the power of the of what I'm doing, you know, whatever that might be in others' cases, the more that I'm going to receive. And I think that's biblical, but I also think that it's wise because it's proven to work over and over again. But also from a business perspective, the book is a great sales tool. You don't have to sell yourself at all when you're already the authority to it. And you don't have to negotiate anymore when you're already the authority to it. But it certainly is a great way for someone to test who you are by the power of a book, even if they never read it. But also from a stranger perspective, when somebody can find your book in Barnes & Noble, you don't have a clue who they are, and they reach out to you and they become your best client. Or they're the ones that bring you in as a speaker to their organization for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 or more. You know, gracious, my first paid gig from being a publisher happened just 3 years after starting the publishing house, and I got well into $60,000 to spend 3 days with a group of people. It was amazing. So books can be very, very powerful from a bigger picture perspective than from the book.
In fact, just to testify about that, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who works in a community-based organization. They bring a lot of experts to town to help them solve particular issues in their community. And her first question was about this authority I was trying to make a connection with is, does he have a book? Because if he Right. doesn't have a book, we're not interested.
There's a vetting process that goes along with publishing. And really, to be honest with you, it's probably more perception from the public than anything else. Of course, publishers, you know, are putting their neck on the line when they to establish a relationship with a person like an author. But that third-party validation, it really helps everybody from nonprofits to media to even clients understand that, yeah, that's the probably the person I should talk to than some other person.
So, David, this is an interesting arc of your story. I mean, how do you explain being, you know, successful in banking to revolutionary in publishing? How does that happen?
Well, I had I recognized a problem, you know, that I thought needed to be fixed. It wasn't daunting to me at all to tackle on a, you know, 1,000-year-old entity or enterprise or whatever you want to call it. But I realized that I knew just enough that if I could help others go through the process smoother, it would be worth it for me. And I, again, very passionate about helping others realize their goals. And if I could help them do it easier than the mistakes that I made or the troubles and, you know, issues that I had going through it or frustrations, if you will, it would certainly be something worthwhile. But really, it was just recognizing an opportunity and being willing to take a leap. You know, that's the whole definition of what an entrepreneur is, somebody that's willing to take a risk for a potential gain. Now, truth be told, I was getting paid crazy money to be a banker. I didn't quit my day job until the second year of the publishing house. So I did go by faith, but maybe not complete faith like some others may have gone. But I knew that there was an opportunity that then something needed to be fixed, and I had the right idea, I thought, to fix it.
And so you probably encounter a lot of aspiring authors or people who have an idea, but you know this whole process just seems very intimidating to them. What kind of words of advice do you have for folks about how to break in as a first-time author?
So one thing, of course, is to master your task at hand. You need to be the expert that you want to be, and you need to know exactly what you're doing, and you got to be able to add value, and you have to care. For me, the biggest common thing that I see in all of our most successful authors is they actually care what their customers are getting out of the relationship. They care about what their readers are going to do with their content, and they're giving. The most successful authors from a nonfiction perspective are the ones that give it all away in a book. Don't be afraid to keep anything back. Let all your secrets go in the book because only 30% of people are going to read it, but the book has this powerful persona that goes along with it. But give it all away because if you start trying to pitch them something that wasn't in the book, there's a little bit of distrust that happens, and sometimes it's subconscious. So one, know that you can write a book and you should, probably, of course, if you're that expert, and then just do it. A lot of us will start or want to do a book, but not follow through. So don't look at it as a writing a book, or don't look at it as changing the world, or don't look at it as tackling an industry. Look at it as, here's a small step. But if Winston and I, for instance, if you and I had a chance to sit down for 15 minutes, here are the 10 or 12 things that I absolutely want to get across before you run out the door screaming. And if you're still there, you got an opportunity to talk about 3 to 5 things you know, that you know about that particular topic and those things. So you just kind of flesh out an outline of an ideal way to talk about what you're trying to get across to your audience with the end game in mind. What do you really want that reader to do once they finish reading the book? The last thing you want them to do is put it back on the shelf. The best thing you want them to do is engage with you. But look at it from that perspective. Don't think about the book. Think about those steps that get you there, and then write out the book. That's how I wrote it in 5 to 15 minute segments on the couch with my bride in the evenings. It was really simple. And then follow through. Get it published. You're going to get rejected. You're going to get naysayers. Heck, even maybe some of your family, your closest friends or biggest supporters are going to go, oh my gosh, stop talking about this. I'm tired of it. It's time to do something different. You just keep pressing forward and have persistence.
I've heard you say also that the best time to start talking about your book is?
The moment you decide to write it. In fact, that was one of the things that Jay, of course, of many things he taught me, but was very powerful. And really, this is part two to that. So the best time to start marketing the book is the moment you decide to write it, or today. Because it's never too late to start, but oh my gosh, the sooner the better. And you don't want to be, you know, in their faces, but the reality is, when you look at the big picture of self-published authors today versus the traditionally published authors today, is a common mistake with self-publishing is you're going down your life, you're following this person on you know, because you either respect them or they're following you, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they're like, I've got a book launch, buy my book on Amazon today. And it's like, I didn't even know you were an author yet. I didn't know that you were that becoming that expert, because you haven't taken the audience down that path with you of being or taking or owning that space. And it often falls really flat, or they have a very flash in the pan success. The reality is, you know, plant the seeds. Hey, you know, they already know you're successful. They're following you. Plant seeds that, hey, I'm compelled to write a book about whatever and give it away. Talk about the process of writing the outline. Talk about the process of actually writing the book and the struggles you're having with an editor. Or talk about talking to agents or publishers. Talk about your weighing possibly self-publishing over traditional publishing. Just kind of bring your audience down this path with you. Talk about getting picked up by a publisher. Talk about the meetings you have with the publishers. Just keep in mind that 95% of your communication to the world is about them, why they're following you in the first place. So you still need to educate, encourage, inspire, and entertain the world with who you are. But then don't forget that other 1 to 5% is about you, and they need to know what's going on with your world. So by the time you're ready to say, my book is coming out in the fall, and by the time you're ready to say, go pre-order my book or give me reviews or endorse my book, you've already earned that permission. They're following along with you. They're eager to help, and they're your biggest loyalist fans at that point.
Yeah, and you've published a book.
That's right. Guerrilla Marketing for Writers, now in its second edition. And it's an amazing book. Over 100 weapons, free or no cost to low cost ways to market yourself as an authority in your space by the power of a book.
What is your favorite one of all of them in the book? Which one is your, like, your ninja weapon that you enjoy the most doing yourself?
Well, probably one of the most significant things for me that actually can tie into the previous industries that I've been in. And I've had several careers to this point now, all of them less than the 17 years we've been doing this. But for me, it was all about mastering my competitors' stuff. So even as a banker, I knew my competitors' products, names, slogans, what they could do and couldn't do better than their reps did, because I always wanted to be the go-to person. So I would go into an office and I would meet with people, and I would look at the loans and their again, from a banking perspective, I would go into their offices and I would figure out what I could do. And then I would look at the other ones that I knew I couldn't, that I didn't have a product per se for, or that wasn't our specialty, or we weren't good at it. And I would help that particular client of mine figure out that this was best done like this. Here, give it to Jane at XYZ. All of a sudden, I was the first person that everybody called, because if I couldn't do it, they knew who did, and they didn't have to figure it out. They could spend more time, you know, selling their clients versus trying to figure out what to do in the back end. It was significant. So even as an authority in your space, you will have competition. Know who they are. Know what their strengths and weaknesses are. Don't be afraid to collaborate. In fact, guerrilla marketing teaches that the best way to eliminate competition is to create opportunities for collaboration. So never hesitate to reach out and get to know who they are. Know them better than they know themselves, and then your authority will speak well in the book. Talk about your competitors if you need to in the book, and why that necessarily you're better, that you are the authority. You know what's going on. It's significant. I think it's probably the second most powerful weapon that an entrepreneur could use, the power of a book. And then from a guerrilla marketing for writers perspective, that knowing your competition better than you know yourself is very, very powerful.
And you've had some massive successes under your roof in terms of some books that have just gone globally, incredible phenomenon, and long lasting titles. Yeah. What are some of the titles that you've had a hand in that folks would recognize?
Oh my gosh. It's like asking me who my favorite kid is.
I almost prefaced that question saying it that way.
So if anybody is here is listening and you're one of our families of Morgan James authors, I love you. If I don't get a chance to mention your book name today, I'm sure I will in future conversations because they're all amazing. But names that you might recognize, of course, would be Jay Levison. We ended up starting the publishing house with four books from him. So in fact, he was on our advisory board from the year before we started, again, with that whole outline perspective that we went through, all the way to the day he died. So he was phenomenal. We did start with a four-book deal from Jay, and then ultimately we ended up doing most of the guerrilla marketing books. In fact, if you turn around and look at your library, you probably got one or two of our books on the shelves already. But from Brendan Burchard, who was our second New York Times bestseller, our first number one New York Times bestseller. If you've been on the line at all, you've seen Russell Brunson's books, .com Secrets and Expert Secrets. And then, of course, Joel Kahn. He was our first New York Times bestseller. If you don't know him, he's a great person to reach out. As well as, gracious, The Bezos Letters by Steve and Karen Anderson is another one. Oh, my gosh, I can't even think. There's just so many. We've been very blessed. Even some brands. It's been so much fun to work with brands. So we're working on right now a book from the former CEO of Volvo, secretly working on a book from a major franchise owner that you would all immediately recognize coming out later this spring. We also work with Nathan's Hot Dogs, the chairman of the boards. We're trying to make sure that their brand stays relevant and that they have authority in their space as well. Even Hormel, not that we were looking for a food niche, but we did a book for the chairman of the board for Hormel. Even some sports book. We did Jerry Colangelo's book on Return to the Gold for bringing the Olympic teams back to gold. So I mean, those are some just names that we've done, mm-hmm. some that you may recognize. Yeah, and others. Dan Miller's 48 Days to the Work You Love, coming out with the 2020 edition yes. here shortly. Yeah. So I could just go on and on and on and on. I could put my catalog right now there.
We'll send them to your website and they can see all your authors. The one thing I really admire about you and your company, David, is the sense of community that you build and relationship that you build with your authors. You know, I've been in your offices, I've met some of your team, I've met some of your authors, and to a person, the family atmosphere is just really prevalent, and so many people have wonderful things to say. And I guess that speaks to the level of cooperation and the way you've torn down the traditional walls of publishing have really paid off.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you noticing that. That's important to me. That was one of the things that we wanted to set up. We wanted to have a community. We have a family of authors that are supporting each other. In fact, one of the things that we did that early on that because I developed friends with our competitors. I was, had lunch with and met with the publishers of other big houses, and they knew who we were and I knew who they were. But when I told them that I was putting all of our authors together in one private group where they could communicate with each other, they all thought I was the craziest, stupidest man on earth, because you never want to put your clients where they could talk to each other. So they said, but we put all of our authors in a private Facebook group, and they're there to encourage each other. They're there to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And heck, if we have an issue, if we're doing something wrong, we want to know about it. So we want to have that sense of environment there. In fact, one great thing that I'm just so proud of is one time we had an author who did a book signing, pros and cons to book signings. Of course, I'm a fan of them, but she did a book signing and nobody showed up. I mean, oh my gosh, can you imagine sitting in a Barnes & Noble, whatever, and nobody shows up to your book signing? It's terrifying. But it's happened to a lot of authors. Mm-hmm. So, but before I even had a chance to see the post, there were dozens of other authors that were chiming in with them saying, oh, don't worry about it. We'll come to your next one. Just get up, dust yourself off. And it happened to me too. And they just really started to encourage them. And it was just so impactful. So by the time I got there, I just had to sit back and go, this is awesome. But they're there. They're often, endorsing each other's books, writing reviews. In fact, I've even seen where they speak on each other's stages. They're promoting mm-hmm. each other's books, and they're just supporting and praying for each other. It's just amazing. It's exactly what I had hoped to be, but even more so.
That's beautiful. So how has faith been part of your business or life journey?
Oh my gosh. I think without faith, I think entrepreneurs are destined to fail because it does take a leap of faith to step out to do something uncomfortable or new. And without being aware, listening to the Holy Spirit to make sure you're making good decisions, that you are actually serving somebody else other than ourselves, I think is very powerful. So we're all Christians, but we're not a faith-based publisher. Our niche has been business, self-help, how-to, things like that. Really, the genre is not that important to us. It's more of the author. In fact, teaser is 80% of our decisions, the author. Who are they? What are they doing? And why? And do they care about the reader? And is there a way to connect them? That's our sweet spot. The genres could be very different. So I think it's very, very important to us. And it's great to have a lot of good, clean messages out there. One of the things that we won't publish is books with profanity or anything that's not uplifting. It's got to be a good, positive message that somebody can benefit from. We do have a small actual faith line. We do about 25 faith-based books a year. But it's amazing how many great faith messages kind of slip into the secular channels because, you know, those are the people we're trying to reach. Mm-hmm. But it's a big part of who we are. We pray for our authors on a regular basis. Some of them may not even know about it, but that's okay.
So last question for you in terms of for a person who's facing a challenge, perhaps their own begin again moment in their life, what advice would you share for them as an inspirational takeaway from your life so far?
Loop in as many people into your world as possible to help you get through it. Again, like I said earlier, just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you have to do it by yourself. I highly recommend hiring a mentor or a coach to walk you through the process. If you can't afford it, you know, still try to tap into as many of the free channels that good mentors and coaches have, because they do give away a lot of great content in their being, you know, guerrilla marketers themselves. But as soon as you can afford it, hire an accountability coach to help you stay on track, stay focused. And then as you continue to develop who you are, one of the many best things that my father taught me was, you know, to surround myself with people that are smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And that I was always goes far. And the one that I really struggled with that Jay finally helped me learn was to delegate the things that you shouldn't be doing. You know, as you continue to grow in the space, it's a lot of uncomfortable. You're not be making the money that you're expected to yet, but you're spending most of your time doing something that's not your highest talent. Take the plunge and bring somebody in to do it as soon as you can. Multiple times, so at least six times in the last 17 years, I found myself doing stuff that wasn't my highest and best talent. The moment that I delegated it, we grew. Something shot straight up and somebody else rose to the task. And it was so rewarding to see that. But oh my gosh, what a relief for me as it was as a entrepreneur delegating something that wasn't required for me. I could go on.
and so much gold here, David. Let me just say, I hope that people are furiously writing and taking notes here because there are so many gems in what you've shared today. I am so thankful for that. What's the best way for folks to connect with you at Morgan James and to learn more about the whole world of publishing? And maybe there's that author who's ready to take the step of gaining authority in their sector.
Oh, well, I appreciate that opportunity and thank you. I didn't certainly do this for the hope of being promoted, but I'm honored. So certainly come visit us at morganjamespublishing.com. You can see the types of books that we typically publish and the successes that our authors are having, that we're just having a great chance to play in their space with them. But if you want to submit a book, just click on submit at the top of the page. You can even write a personal note to me if you want to meet me. But I'm all over social media as well, at David Hancock on Twitter, D Hancock on Facebook. Heck, if you really want to chat and just kind of get to know me and how I could help you out, you can even go to chatwithdavid.com and I'll help you figure out wherever path you need to go. I just love meeting new people.
Yeah, and you do. And one of my favorite stories of getting to know you in the last year was going to have coffee over at the Outer Banks and finding out that we have a distant, we're distantly related via marriage.
So. That's right. That was fun to find out.
And that was, you know, and that's just sitting over coffee. That wouldn't have come up any other way. Just kind of connected right that way. It was a lot of fun. You have that's a wonderful right family and a beautiful business. So thank you for sharing with our audience today, David.
Oh, it's my privilege. If I said anything stupid, it's his fault for asking the questions. No, I'm just saying I was really privileged to do it.
And we will keep that in the podcast. You guys heard it. All right. So let's draw deeper faith, inspiration, and encouragement in our begin again moments. If you'd like to help others, make sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And your honest review helps us spread the word. And when you post your review, capture a screenshot and contact us with your mailing address to the email address in the show notes. We'd love to send you a gift in the mail. And for more support and inspiration on building your own faith-centered, mission-driven business, visit future7figureceo.com for my free 12-page ebook on the biggest differences between a heart-centered seven-figure business and a challenging, self-focused six-figure venture. And remember, the biggest breakthroughs in life and business occur the moment you decide to begin again. I'll catch you on the next episode.